This is Game On. With your host, Zeke Williams.
Game On!
Back at you on a Wednesday, feeling good. 3 o'clock standing tall. Zeke Williams, Ari, pumping out the ones and twos. A lot on the agenda today. Bottom of the hour, Mr. Logical Approach, Andy Isco, is going to join us. Take a look at the NBA tonight. Plenty games on the slab, and also the two championship games, AFC, NFC, coming this Sunday. Big surprise, huh? The matchups. Good stuff. Final go round, we're going to give away San Diego State, UNLV, the 27th of this month down at the MAC. Lighters up, dope. Oh, about 15 minutes from now, looking at what's going on here in this first segment. Sad note, Tyler Helinski, number 3, 21 years of age, quarterback for Washington State University up in Pullman. And he was supposed to show up for practice today, but he didn't. So they sent security into his dome, and they opened the door up, and they find him dead. He had a rifle. He shot himself in the head, left a suicide note. Obviously, the note is family information now, something we'll probably never hear and shouldn't, the privacy of his family. But it just makes you wonder. I was listening to the press box with Graney and Clay Baker, and they had a suicide prevention officer on their show today, and he was going over different indicators and things of that nature that'll give you the thought that maybe someone's depressed or to the point where they're considering taking their lives. And I don't know what the answer is to it. You know, you have, it doesn't matter what your age is, what your gender is, your race, or anything of that nature. It happens. We had a kid at, I think it was Clark High School, was going to be a prominent football player. He was headed off up north, whether it was Washington, Oregon, somewhere. I believe it was Oregon. And his parents found him hanged in the bathroom years ago. And you hear these stories and you don't, there's a disconnect because you don't really comprehend it. You don't understand it. Only that person that took their lives understand why and maybe the purpose of it. When you're 21 years of age, 17, 16, I understand some teens and you have peer issues, you're being bullied, things of that nature. But beyond that, it's got to really be something pretty serious in your mind for you to want to end your life. An older person of more veteran descent who's been around the world, around the block, a guy may have been to Nam, even veterans that have been to World War II, still hanging on, still wanting that next day, that next breath of fresh air. And then you have guys along the way who just had enough, whether it be at the workplace or in a relationship gone bad, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I don't want this anymore, but before I do go, taking a few with me. And I don't have the answer. It's sad, though. Our prayers and condolences go out to the Helinski family up there. And you never know. You just, this kid was, he had plenty of upside. He was just a freshman in the bowl game last year. And this past month, it's very sad. All right, on to the ice, where the Vegas Golden Knights. And I told you so. Damn it.
Is that right?
They had won 10 of 11 games. They had 60 points in first place in the Pacific. And then they get a week off. I don't want the week off. That should be optional. They made our guys sit and lose the gym they had rolling on the ice with them.
I don't.
Well, what is it? They lost two straight now.
Sure, just two straight, and look who they lost.
What do you mean, just two straight?
Well, because you're looking at it like, wow, they're winning all these games, so they can't lose two measly games. I get it.
Oh, they got to play again tomorrow night.
True,
and then they got to play Friday night.
So then let's revisit that then, because I'm just, and the Nashville Predators are no joke either. I mean, they really did.
They beat them already.
But they did. But I'm just saying, they're, you know, it's not like they just lost to some terrible team. And
they lost to Edmonton, a terrible team.
Yeah, you're right.
Twice. 8-2, and then they got beaten in overtime.
I have no explanation for that.
I do.
For those two, but
they had the time off.
I mean, even the 8-2 loss way back when, but we'll see. We'll see. It's you know.
Well, here's how it went down.
Puck ends up on the right wing. Subban, he shoots. Knocked down, rebound, off the iron, and in. Nashville strikes first with 12 minutes to go in the third. The Predators have a 1-0 lead.
Fox Sports Radio 1340, 98.9 FM. I don't like it. It's a conspiracy. Okay, I'm getting carried away now. But our team was on fire, man.
You want to know something? Every time I eat my chicken sandwich, I go to the local deli and get some barbecue chicken and put it make a sandwich. I feel like the last two games I was not able to make my sandwich and eat it during the shift. So if you're superstitious, it is possible that maybe my sandwich theory is in fact true.
Your record, sorry little chicken sandwich.
That's right. I'm helping them win by eating these sandwiches.
Okay, we'll buy that for now, but I think it was the break. We'll find out. By the end of the week, we'll know. If they drop 3 of 4.
I agree.
You can't tell me it wasn't a rest period?
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to see the next couple games before I sell them down the river like you are.
And then they come home and can't win?
Now, they also have next week, they have like a 7-game, I believe, home stretch.
Homestand?
So hopefully if they can't, you know, maybe they can make it up. Because no one really beats us at T-Mobile except apparently Edmonton and Nashville.
Yeah. All right. On to the hardwood. Now, the Pelicans. Team we don't talk about that much. Of course, they got Biggie Cousins, Big Cuz, and then they got AD, Anthony Davis, the Brow.
The Brow.
Pelicans are 23-20. They're the number 6 seed in the West right now. But the story is Anthony Davis with the trading deadline coming up in the NBA shortly. About a week away. So his story is this. He's only the third person in NBA history in the last two games to drop 45 and have at least 15 rebounds. Okay. I'm trying to think of the one person. I know Wilt Chamberlain is one, and the other guy from back in the day, I totally forgot. But Wilt Chamberlain, when people talk about best player ever, all right, let's put it this way. Most dominating player ever. There was no more dominating player ever in the association than Wilt Chamberlain. He had a season where he averaged over 50 points per game and 25 rebounds per game.
Didn't he have and then they said he was only a scoring machine, so he went and had almost a triple-double the next season or something for the whole season? Yeah.
And then, of course, he had the 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Amazing. And a lot of women.
They called him Wilt the Stilt for a reason. Okay. Anthony Davis, by the way, last two games, and this one last night, they went overtime to win this ball game against the Celtics. All right. They won that ball game 116-113 in overtime. Anthony Davis, who averages 36 minutes a game, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and he shoots 56% from the floor. In this ball game, he had 45 points. He was 16 of 34 from the floor, 13 of 15 from the line, 16 boards, 2 assists, 2 blocks, a steal in 45 minutes in that 116-113 victory. Now, back it up to Sunday against the Knicks. He played 48 minutes. That's the whole game. He was 17 of 20. He missed 3 shots and 20 shots. 12 of 15 from the line, 48 points in 48 minutes, 17 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks. He just killed him. Okay? Check him out.
So that's why they're giving it to AD. Out of the inbounds, money in the bank. Etwan Moore on the runout. Sets up. AD's wide open. 69-67. Anthony Davis up to 31-10. Brown with Bane. Blocked up top. Anthony Davis has his second block. And DeMarcus Cousins with the loose stuff. Cousins, bully ball. And right at the feet with hands. Anthony Davis from his ankles. Got it. Pelicans back up by 176-75. Now, what's the set going to be? Bringing up Anthony Davis. Quick catch and shoot. And a lead for the Pelicans. 43 for Anthony Davis. Cousins 3 for 3. And AD hammers it home on the follow.
There you go. The Pelicans radio network, AD is just sick. He's just blowing it up big time, getting it done. I mean, he's unstoppable. He really is. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 6'11 and just has a finesse game. Remember when he was in high school, he was a point guard. He was a guard. So he grew like 8 inches through the years, just blew up. out of nowhere and all of a sudden became a forward slash center, gets it done. So he's doing well, not so much down in San Antonio. Kawhi Leonard, we had a chance to see up in personal when he was with San Diego State, came out underclassman, worked his butt off over at Tarkanian's gym right behind the Palace Station off of Spring Mountain over that way. Every day, shot 1,000 jumpers, had no jump shot, over and over again. Eventually, pops, and the Spurs took him. So you saw what happened in the playoffs last year. He had a guy step on his ankle, blew his ankle out, gone for a very long time. I mean, they want to be sure, because he's their franchise piece, that he's right. So the ankle's fine, then his quad blows up. Now, you say, well, the quad and the ankle don't have anything to do with each other. Relatively, they do, though, because when you have an injury on one leg, you may start favoring certain things about that leg. It could affect other portions of that leg, or it could affect the other leg. So the right quad now, and they announced today that last year's MVP, Kawhi Leonard, last year's finalist, will be sidelined indefinitely with the injured right quad. Rehab on his way now. Wow. He's one of the best five players in the league. Some will say top three. He was on his way to becoming not just the star that he has already became, but a superstar. And this right here is something you can't forecast. You don't see it coming. A guy has an ankle injury. You think he's going to overcome it. A shoulder injury in the NBA, not as bad. But when the legs start acting up in different areas, then before you know it, unfortunately, it could be the hip. When the hip goes, it's over. Okay, you could have a knee injury. You could blow out your ACL, MCL, and still recover and play. Hopefully, it'll never be the hip, because once the hip goes, you're talking about a possible hip replacement in the NBA. And I'm not applying this to Kawhi or any other player. I'm just saying in general, that's one of the most dreaded injuries of all. We never talk about it because we call it the Bo Jackson injury. It's what ended Bo Jackson's run at being maybe the best player that we've ever seen for a long period of time. Okay, but when he blew his hip out, playing football, and then I'll never forget when he returned. I believe it's first at bat as an Angel, he homered for his moms into the right field stands. So we don't wish that on any player, the Bo Jackson injury, the hip injury, but Kawhi Leonard sideline indefinitely, and I understand it. And for the people that have season tickets there in San Antonio, you're thinking, man, are we going to go anywhere this year? Well, probably not. I heard someone say this earlier today, too, talking about LeBron James. LeBron James, in my opinion, is not returning to Cleveland. Cleveland has those two draft choices. The one in particular where they're holding on, it's like it's a money bag to get a big player to come your way, because it's top of the line Nets trade with that draft. So what are you going to do with it? LeBron James ain't coming back. Okay, he's not going to be in uniform with the Cavaliers next year. Where's he going? I heard someone say today, why not go where the best coach is, and he's going to make a plan for you, and that would be San Antonio and Pops. I agree. Why not? Look, the Lakers have a lot of really young talent. Kuzma is going to be all that. You go down their line and list of players that they have, and it's off the chain. All these guys are in their early 20s. Okay, no one's over 24 years of age that they have in there that they can keep and build around. But you really need some promise to lead them. If LeBron James decides to become a Laker, fine. I just don't think he will. I think LeVar Ball is in the way. I really do believe that. And his son Lonzo wouldn't be the problem. If LeVar Ball was just an average human being with normal intelligence and not a fool like he is, he wouldn't be in the way. I think LeBron James would gladly become a Laker. Returning to Cleveland, I think, is out. Returning to the Lakers, I think, is in question. So why not go to San Antonio? Sure, you're not going to be on Hollywood Lane. No. West Hollywood? No. You're not going to be anywhere around all the celebrities, but the celebrities will come to you, LeBron, no matter where you are. Celebrities are even coming to Cleveland to see you play. LeBron James is in his 15th year. Think about that. How many guys play 10 years in the league? 11? If you look up an average, it's not 15, and he's having the best year of his career right now. So for Kawhi Leonard, we root for you, bro. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is almost like he's one of ours because he played in the Mountain West, and we got to interview him every time we saw him here and in San Diego. But he's on the shelf now. For how long, we don't know. And will he ever come back and be the explosive player, not just offensively, but defensively, where he was a stud? We'll find out. All right, we're going to step away. When we get back, lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:20 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. You animals lovers out there, saving veteran animals, you'll like this story. Bringington, Maine. A Maine animal rescue group says it has raised enough money to save a 15-year-old pony that has lost part of his penis due to cancer and frostbite. Bringington-based animal rescue unit took over care of the pony that was suffering from cancer and infection. Brogan Horton said, temperatures plummeting to below 25 is the problem, causing part of the animal's flesh to break off during an examination. That's got to be painful. The animal named Richard, Little Richie. Oh, come on, Little Richie, hang in there. Will be spared from being euthanized thanks to the fundraising campaign that surpassed the goal of raising $4,000 for care, including reconstruction. Horton said the pony will be transferred to an animal hospital on Friday and surgery will take place Monday. She said the goal is for the pony to live for the remainder of his life pain-free. I'm all for that. I'm all for animals and people's lives being extended. Little Richie, you dope. Hang in there without your penis, buddy.
Poor thing. What? How did they? I don't. So many questions. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's dope, though. Good for
horse meat.
Good for Little Richard.
Right.
See what I did there?
Yeah. Right. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. So as soon as you said animals, I was like, he better not have my story.
And we don't check these beforehand. That's the good part.
Yeah, it's spontaneous. So, no, this is cool, too. In Nara, Japan, if I'm saying that right. So this is a city. It has significant temples and artwork dating to the 8th century when it was Japan's capital. The area includes a 15-meter-high bronze Buddha displayed in a large wooden hall on the park's east side, the Shinto shrine Kasuga Taisha, which dates to 768 AD and more than 3,000 lanterns. Here's the cool part. Much, much doper than all that stuff. In Nara Park, which is a section in Nara, the city, it's a small section, deer and humans live and coexist harmoniously with one another. Now, I wish I could have played the video somehow. It's just visual. There's no sound, but this is real. Like, they literally are just, you know how, like, birds, not pigeons, but some nice birds, like our ducks, they'll kind of, they'll be there in the area and they'll coexist with people. And there's no issues. Everybody's getting along. It's kind of like that. They just kind of just roam the streets. And so they're considered sacred animals in Japan. So, you know, there's no disrespect towards them. They walk through the streets of public and they beg for these special deer snacks. And they learn how to bow to visitors, which, if you don't know, is a sign of respect to culture in Asia. So that part blows me away. And when it rains, they take shelter in some of these ancient buildings around the area. They said the park is a big attraction for school trips and for animal lovers and even history buffs. So I just thought, I mean, my goodness, we can't even get along with each other. And these guys are just roaming the streets, chilling with deer, and it's fine. They don't get in the way either. These deer, they ask for snacks, but they don't beg. They don't harass people. They don't frown at you if you don't give them a snack and then go hit up the next person like humans do. So I thought that was really dope. Go Nara, Japan. I want to go. I want to see it. It's really cool. Yeah, and there was little kids, too,
right?
Like with the the interaction's amazing. There's no, like, no problem. Everybody's just cool.
So you're saying don't fear the deer?
No, not at all. They're just chilling. Mm. It's amazing. Again, you have to see the video to really appreciate.
You ever have deer meat?
No, I haven't. Was venison, is that what it's called? Same, with the same thing? Or?
I don't know.
I've actually heard, I'm not very open to trying all kinds of different animals, but I have heard that they are pretty, like, that it is good meat, you know, if you cook right and all that stuff.
Well, deer's dope.
Yeah.
I like it. So was this story, if you like football, and what took place last week and the Vikings' miracle win over the Saints. Saints punter Thomas Morstead was in pain for nearly all of Sunday's loss to the Vikings. Morstead's first punt, the return man Marcus Srettles gained 19 yards before Morehead had to tackle him hard. Morehead basically tore cartilage in his ribs on that play. He had to continue to punt, and he managed a 56-yarder, 36-yarder. He was getting off. But the fans could tell. And they found out later that the dude had some separated ribs. So they basically, like other fan bases are doing now, the fans of Minnesota start sending him money for some type of charity. Give a listen.
Hey, guys. Just got done. Hey, guys. Just got done building a puzzle with my son, Maxwell, trying to explain to him why people all the way up north in Minnesota keep giving money all the way down south here in New Orleans. And the more I tried to explain, the more he seemed perplexed and confused, and made me realize how remarkable it is that people are doing this. And while doing that, I just got an update from my executive director, Dennis. He said, we have raised $25,000 for the Minnesota Children's Hospital, which is just unbelievable. Anyway, so we're gonna set the goal. If we get to $100,000, I'll fly up to Minnesota next week or in 2 weeks for the week of the Super Bowl, and we'll do the presentation to the hospital personally. But just totally blown away by everybody, and just thanks for the support.
That's him, Thomas Morstead, the punter for the Saints with the jacked up ribs and all, explaining to his kid while putting the puzzle together why these folks up there in Minnesota, a team that beat us that we didn't like, their fans are sending money. To me, this right here is a new turn for fanatic in the fan, in the word fans. Fans are becoming clever, bright, more attentive, more caring, okay? Sometimes it's funny, you know, some of the setups are great, like the one you're about to drop, which is a nice segue from this one. Where these fans, all right, dude, look, you're hurt. You know what? You showed us toughness. We're sending you money. What's your charity?
Yeah.
They did that.
I love
that
it.
That, to me, so dope.
Yeah, and he embraced it and ran with it, too. That, I mean, not that anyone wouldn't, but, yeah, that's a really cool thing. And it does show, I mean, fans can be, oh, man.
Good and bad.
Not only sports, but entertainers and musicians. I mean, they just, and now with social media, you are just everything you do. I mean, like, literally, you take the wrong step, and it's, oh, this guy, oh, what is he doing? So it's just nice to see the opposite, which is, here's something really good happening, and people are getting really involved and embracing not only that, but helping. My story segue is a little bit different, but it's still fun. Sinati's Bakery in Jacksonville Beach is sending quarterback Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger 7 turnovers as a thank you gift for the 7 times he's turned the ball over against the Jags in 2017-2018 season. They hit him with the tweet. That's how we do it nowadays. Dear Big Ben, we wanted to thank you for the amazing season so far. Beating you this year, not once, but twice in the Berg. Well, that was amazing. We appreciated the turnovers you gave us our season. So, in return, we wanted you to get a taste of 7 turnovers.
Nice.
That is really a clever way, yeah. So here are our very best apple, blueberry, and cherry turnovers. Sincerely, the amazing city of Jacksonville, or as you know it, Saxonville. That is, yeah, you can't get better than that. It's harmless, too, you know, and I think it's so fun and cool. I'm not exactly sure his reaction to it. I know Mark Brunell, as a quarterback, was not impressed and tweeted something like, not cool. But come on, I mean, like, if you can't, sure, I mean, I know you want to win and you're bummed about, you know, maybe losing the game, obviously. Maybe it's a little too soon, I don't know. But in the competitive nature of sports, I mean, you can't beat that. And like you said, it is a growing trend, sending nice things to opponents as well. I know that they have like Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan sent a bottle of wine to Cam Newton after the Saints beat the Panthers in the wild card round.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so pretty, you know, pretty dope story.
Yep, you got one more drop it.
Yeah, why not? Here we go. This is opposite. These are a bunch of dopes.
Way to carry us.
Have you heard? Hey, that's what I do.
Your shoulder's getting tired, right?
We got a lot of inside jokes on this show. Okay. Have you heard of the Tide Challenge?
The Tide? Like washing detergent? No. I can't wait to hear it.
No, yeah. I wish I wasn't reporting this, but in recent months, if you haven't heard, the challenges they do, the ice bucket challenge. Yes, usually a lot of
which
them
which I
are,
did, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are really mm-hmm. positive and for good purpose. This, and then some of them are, there was a cinnamon challenge. You have to eat a spoon.
Oh, that wasn't very smart.
Yeah, it's
or
fitting
the pepper,
in.
They're doing the pepper challenge now. Exactly. Yeah, so crazy.
So the kids are trying to fit in. I get it, but man, this is bad. So teens are eating these little Tide Pods.
Tide pods?
The little fancy...
The thing that, with the whole pack of like detergent inside of it. People are putting those in their mouths.
As a challenge,
that
yeah.
can kill you, man.
In the name of fun, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's no... I know that these kids have a lot going on, and, you know, it's... Like, I try to understand where they're coming from, and this is just stupid. I mean, I remember years ago reading something about where they were concerned that little kids, like two-year-olds, would eat these pods because they looked like candy.
Yeah.
Because they're two, that's the difference.
Right.
These are grown teenagers. I mean, that
so what's going on?
Sense.
What's the results from these?
Well,
challenges?
Several videos posted online. People are shown popping the pods into their mouths and even chewing on them. Some people have been shown foaming at the mouth and suffering uncontrollable coughs after the stunt, according to ABC News. And CBS reports that at least 10 deaths have been linked to the
ingesting
pods.
Thank you. That's bad.
That's really serious.
I say thank you because that's the conclusion. If you're dumb enough to do something to jeopardize your life, not just your health, but your life, then you just weren't raised right, man, or you're around the wrong people, the bad set,
yeah.
your clique. Something ain't right.
My only defense is, I mean, I know it's hard to fit in when you're younger and stuff, but, man, there's just, I mean.
You ain't got
to
fit in by doing this.
And you could literally, smoking cigarettes is a better, I'm not by any means promoting that, but I'm just saying.
Thank God you don't have any kids.
No, that's right. Well, I would like to think that I would at least raise them better than this.
Give them a pack of cigarettes, some Cools.
So, basically, yeah, to end this, it's become a popular trend to the point that they had the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission had to tweet, because that's how you reach the kids, please don't eat laundry pods. And in a statement, the spokesperson from Tide said he's deeply concerned about the challenge. They're working with social media to try to remove any content, you know, that's pretty sad, but...
Okay, let's just go ahead on and eat some rat poison. What the hell? What's the difference? If you're dumb enough to try to eat some Tide Pods or any other laundry detergent pods, you're asking for a death wish.
Yeah.
Okay? Or you don't want to be well, because you're not going to be well.
No, sir.
So. They're dopes.
They're dopes. Exactly.
They're dopes. All right. Lighters down. Andy Isco next here on Game On.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good here at 3:34 on a Wednesday hump day in the Valley. Boy, crazy dope today, I got to tell you.
Man.
Some of the stories that jump out. You know, and the thing is, with social media now all over the country, all over the universe, the stories are so wacky. And these stories have probably already been there. But you didn't know about them until social media. Now you know everything about everyone's business now. And
great point.
A lot of it
yeah.
I ain't digging.
You're absolutely right.
But I dig the hell out of this dude. He brings that logical approach. Andy Isco. Andy, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, Seat, and you're absolutely right. All the stories that used to only appear, the wacky stories, especially in local small-town newspapers, are now spread instantly worldwide. So we get to see a lot of the human experience in ways that perhaps we've never seen things before, at least not on a widespread basis.
Andy, if you have discontinued, how long has it been since you haven't received the newspaper on your morning lawn, if you've discontinued?
Well, I haven't discontinued, so the answer is about 7 or 8 hours. I still get the paper every day. I like to read it in the morning before getting into my normal routine. I still find a lot of things that are comfortable just holding on to the paper and flipping the page is something that, of course, a lot of the current generations, the millennials, et cetera, are not used to because everything's been digital for roughly the past 20 years as far as accessibility. But I still like to read a lot of books. I read a lot of newspapers, et cetera, although I do get an awful lot of my information, a lot of news, not just on the computer, but also on the phone these days as well.
It's nothing like still feeling like and being an OG, Andy, I got to tell you. That newspaper is part of our culture from back in the day. Yep, it'll always be
exactly.
There. All right, let's start with the two games coming up this weekend. Then, of course, I know you love the NBA, so we'll jump on the association. I actually have some action myself tonight. The game's coming up this weekend, though. Oh, first of all, how big of a surprise with Jacksonville? And maybe the surprise wasn't that they won. Maybe it's the final score. What are your thoughts?
I wasn't all that shocked. I did I did think Pittsburgh would win and cover. I thought that Jacksonville would not have the same success defensively against Pittsburgh that they did in the first meeting when five interceptions against Roethlisberger, two of which were returned. And it was a very competitive game into the third quarter. In fact, that first meeting, the game was 7-6 Jacksonville at halftime, 9-7 Pittsburgh in the three quarters in the middle of the third quarter before everything happened. But I give Jacksonville a lot of credit. They showed their aggressive style when they had a chance to kick an early field goal. They made the right decision from the 1 yard line and going for it and taking a 7-0 lead, then scoring once again up 21-0. Actually, at that point, I actually took Pittsburgh plus 10.5 once it was 21-0 and played the inline game. And that's one of the things we can do now, whether you have a play on the full game or whether you're just waiting for the right time to get in. Take advantage of these in-game wagering opportunities, because we see so many games where the scores flip-flop, where one team plays well in the first half and then the other team comes back, or one team makes adjustments at halftime, etc., and the complexion of the game turns. And you know, it's very possible if you start the game with no action, you can have both teams at nice plus prices, money line even, at various points during the game.
Yeah, I have to say this. I took Jacksonville plus the 9. I didn't go money line on them. But in this matchup here against New England, this right here is probably the best matchup we could have gotten, because we've seen the story already with New England and Pittsburgh. And Tom Brady just doesn't lose to Ben Roethlisberger, even though they're not playing on the field at the same time. Jacksonville, though, a whole different story. Now Belichick, his defensive coordinator, his defensive players, where they have a very strong secondary, they're going to have to react to what Jacksonville is going to do with their defense. On the other side, Blake Bortles is really the key to this game in many instances, because if he stinks up the joint like he normally does, maybe 65% of the time, then they have no chance of winning. But if he plays and doesn't turn the football over and plays with a little bit of confidence, Andy, we could have a pretty good football game here.
Yeah, I hope he does, because I've got some future tickets on Jacksonville to win both the AFC title and the Super Bowl at very nice odds. But I think I'm going to be hedging this week, because I find it very difficult to see Jacksonville beating New England. The Patriots, in the Belichick and Brady era, 21-3 straight up in home playoff games. I think it's 18-3 in home playoff games. I believe it's 12-8-1 against the spread. They've done tremendously well. This is their seventh straight trip to the AFC championship game, and they're going up against an inexperienced team all around. Great effort from Jacksonville all season. A couple of things are interesting is Jacksonville's offense is really underrated. They were number 6 this year in total offense measured by yards per game. They were number 5 this season in the regular season in terms of scoring points per game. Now, of course, some of that was still due to defensive scores, but nonetheless, that total offense number of ranking 6 would surprise a lot of people. Of course, we know a lot about the Patriots and their defensive woes, but if you take a look, most of those defensive issues were in the first 4 games of the season. In fact, if you take their first 8 games of the year and their second 8 games of the year, their defensive improvement over the second 8 games compared to the first 8 games slightly over 100 yards per game less allowed and about a yard and a half per play less allowed in the second half of the season than the first half of the season. Now, those numbers don't appear to a lot of people because their year-to-date numbers, which include those first half ugly numbers, somewhat mask the not just the improvement but the significant improvement they showed over the second half of the season. At the same time, and I wrote about this in the Gaming Today column that I did this week previewing this game, the Jaguars do have a hidden asset, really not on the sidelines, but up in the executive suite in Tom Coughlin, who knows something about defending Tom Brady and slowing down the Patriots' offense and understanding Bill Belichick's approach because, remember, it was the Giants who beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, including the one that ended their 18-0 season. They also did that not because Eli Manning should not have been the MVP in those Giant wins. It was the Giants' defense. They held the Patriots to something like 21 points below their season average in that 17-14 win and to about 15 points below their season average when they won the second meeting in the Super Bowl 4 years later, 21-17. So Coughlin, I would like to think he's speaking to Doug Marrone and saying this is how we did it. You've still got Tom Brady. It's an older Tom Brady. You've still got Bill Belichick. And although it's an older Bill Belichick, it's also a more experienced Bill Belichick who knows how to win. I'd like to make a case for the Jaguars. I'd like to make a case for the upset. Certainly I'm going to be rooting for it, but even though they've had problems with Pittsburgh, I would have probably have given Pittsburgh a better chance of pulling the upset because of the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger versus Blake Bortles. Jacksonville's had a tremendous season. They're poised well for the future, and I think that even if Bortles plays a near-perfect game like he's done in his two playoff games without turning it over, it's going to be awful difficult to overcome all the experience that New England has. We saw it last year when they made it to the Super Bowl. The last team to beat New England in the playoffs at home was Baltimore back in, I think it was the 2011 or 2012 championship game. The following game, they ended up beating San Francisco in the Super Bowl. So, you know, if Jacksonville is able to complete the daunting task of winning this game, maybe that's a good sign for them in the Super Bowl. But I have to side with New England. That defensive improvement, which when I made my play on Jacksonville was just starting to occur, and I wasn't quite sure if it was going to hold true, has sustained itself, has gotten better, and the fact is that Jacksonville really only played two teams this season prior to last week against Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh was one of only two regular season games against teams that made the playoffs and had 10 wins or more.
Andy Isco, logical approach. I am impressed. Future on Jacksonville to win the conference and then to win the Super Bowl. That's looking down the road in your – And yeah, I never would have figured that one, but good luck on that one. The other game, Minnesota and the Eagles, by the way, that total 46.5, New England favored by 9. Vikings 338.5. Okay, we're going to put on the dog mask here. The Eagles, once again, underdogs at home.
Yeah, I played them last week against Atlanta, and I've already played them again this week, plus on the money line, plus I think it was plus 160 when I did it after the Lions came out. The Eagles get disrespected. I think a lot of it has to do with the reaction to Carson Wentz being out. But I may have made the point when we last spoke, and I certainly continue to make the point, that the Eagles were 11-2 when Carson Wentz was the quarterback. He got injured late in the game against the Rams. Now, they won the next two games not very impressively, although Nick Foles did have a good game against the Giants, not so much against the Raiders, although they won that game. But the point is, they were 11-2 with Wentz at quarterback. They were 2-0 in the first two games without him. Their last game against Dallas didn't mean anything. Nobody played. They had the number one seed locked up. The point is that when you're 11-2 or 13-2, you're winning more than just because of your quarterback. And that's even if your quarterback is Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. You're getting contributions from special teams. You're especially, in the case of Philadelphia, getting contributions from your defense. And so unless they were going up against an outstanding outstanding overall team, they should not be home underdogs, even with Nick Foles at quarterback. I give Minnesota a lot of credit. That was a tremendous come from behind after they blew the lead against New Orleans the other day. Everyone's calling it the Minneapolis Miracle. I'm calling it more like Vikings voodoo because they really put a curse there on New Orleans in that and on that final play. But nonetheless, the Eagles can be expected, or were expected late in the season, to win because of their defense, not their offense. And that's exactly what happened in their last four games. Well, certainly the last three games. The Giants game was a high-scoring game, but the win over Oakland on that Monday night, their defense played well when their offense didn't. Even the loss to Dallas, they only lost that game 6-0. That was a 0-0 game at halftime. And again, against Atlanta, they only scored the Eagles 15 points, but they only allowed 10, one of which was a result of an early turnover. And they also made the key defensive play at the end of the game that prevented Atlanta from going ahead by one in the final minutes of that game. So the defense has played extremely well for Philadelphia and did so again last week against Atlanta, where the offense was somewhat sluggish. On the other hand, if you're Minnesota, you're winning mainly because of your defense. There they are playing at home, up 17-0, and not only could they not protect that lead, they actually fell behind and really appeared as though they were going to lose that game. So I take a look at that, I'd be a little bit concerned, even though, and this is the case really with both defenses, they're both stepping down in class this week. After facing Matty Ryan, the Eagles are going to face a competent but clearly not quite as good quarterback in Case Keenum. And after facing Drew Brees, the Vikings are going to be stepping down in class and facing a capable but certainly not in the class of a Drew Brees in facing the Nick Foles of the Eagles. So my first thought here is to look under the total, because you've got two, I don't like to use the word mediocre, but call them middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks in Keenum and Foles. You've got two defenses that have been outstanding all season, so that game figures to set up as a low-scoring game featuring perhaps more field goals than touchdowns, depending upon how turnovers go. But I've got to like the Eagles at home. You know, throw out that 6-0 loss to Dallas at the end of the year in Week 17. Otherwise, they won all seven home games this year. Very impressive in most of those games. And, yes, losing Wentz is a concern. But Foles performed very well when he was the full-time starter for the Eagles, what was it, back in 2013. I'm on the Eagles. I said on the money line as far as against the points. As long as this line stays at +3 or higher, I'll be on the Eagles as well. So I'm looking for a rematch of the Eagles and the Patriots, who met in Super Bowl, I believe it was 39, which was a 24-21 New England win. And we might see a similarly tight game, because I think you're going to have an exciting contrast between the Eagles' defense and the Patriots' offense, and the improved New England defense against a still competent offense of Philadelphia that can run the football.
Andy Isco, Logical Approach here on the show, Game On. Andy, we have 4.5 minutes left. NBA, this quick breaking news, Ariza and Green both have been suspended for, that's of the Rockets, for going to the locker room of the Clippers. They're suspended for 2 games. Okay, that hurts you more than just getting a fine, because now you're not only losing a paycheck, but you're also not there to help your team. So Green and Ariza out 2 games for their approach in the tunnel, the secret tunnels to the Clippers locker room. Now, with that being said, we got 10 games, about 4 minutes for you to drop on them. We'll start Washington and Charlotte. Charlotte's about a 1.5, 2-point favorite and 214.5.
Yeah, and that may be a little bit telling. Washington, the better record overall, actually the better record over their last 20 games, but they're 0-6 in their last 6 games against the spread. They are 0-6 straight up and 2-8 in their last 10 against the spread. Charlotte 6-4. I'd like to play Washington. They're the better team, but I can't because of current form, so I'm going to pass this game because I don't want to play Charlotte.
Andy, I'll let you pick some other games on the board.
Let's look at the game between Denver and the Clippers. That's a game that I was just writing up somewhere that I like the Clippers. They're playing some of their best basketball this season, 14-6 in their last 20 games straight up. They're 7-3 in their last 10 ATS, playing well at home. And Denver, off of last night's tough game against Dallas, that shouldn't have been that tough. They had a big lead that almost dissipated in the final quarter. They're just 4-6 against the spread in their last 10 games. The number seems to be reasonable, considering how well the Clippers have performed. I think going back to mid-December, their last 14 wins, only one of those wins has been by less than 6 points. So laying 3.5 seems to be a reasonable number against a Denver team that was taxed more than they should have been and also played just 24 hours earlier and had had to travel.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing is the last three nights we've had fisticuffs on the hardwood where you rarely see them. I think the NBA's okay. For whatever reason, it's just taking place right now. I think this will wash over, little frustration. But in the end, the game of the NBA is on a rise. And I think it's going to continue to do that.
I think a lot of the frustration is the friction between the players and the officials. And sometimes it just boils over. I think it's just unfortunate that it results this way. But it's been longstanding, and you've heard more about it this year, players having a lot of differences with officials. They can't even talk to them without being teed up.
You know, you're absolutely correct. There are some, and what you hear from most of the veteran players or the ones that you listen to are, is that, look, the veteran officials will at least let you talk to them. But a lot of times, the newcomers, they'll tee you right up right away. You know, won't listen to you, whatever, don't want to hear anything you have to say. I got this right. You take it. And I teed you up there to top it off. You say something else, you're out of the game. The good news is the officials and the players are supposed to have a meeting prior to the All-Star game coming up. So that week that we get down where, you know, they have – the All-Star game in a certain city, they have all the activity for the kids. They're supposed to be meeting around that time so that they can iron this out. I think that's a good thing. At least they're communicating on it, Andy.
Yeah, I'd like to see what comes out of that meeting, and I can understand the younger officials probably are frustrating the players because they tend to do things more by the book. They want to be able to get good grades, good evaluations, say the rule book says do this, we're going to do that. Once you're a veteran official, you let them play maybe a little bit more, and I think that that might be related to part of the issue. So maybe the NBA has to tell the officials, the younger officials, yeah, go by the book, but understand that there are some times when maybe it's a little bit marginal, you don't have to call it to the letter of the law.
It's good to communicate. Andy, that's what we do when you come on the show here, Game On. So let the folks know where they can reach you to continue the communication.
Gaming Today, I mentioned I've got, I went over a lot of that with the previews of the two NFL games this weekend. Also a column on the NBA with some previews of three games over the weekend. And of course, my website, thelogicalapproach.com. I've got daily statistical matchups for all the college line games and all the NBA games on that day's schedule. I usually try and get that up by 10 a.m. in the morning earlier on weekends.
What is your work schedule like? Coming to the weekend, what does Andy Esco have to do to have everything he wants in pocket done?
Let me put it this way. I wish every day were daylight savings times where you push the clock back an hour because I could use that extra hour.
All right, brother. Always a pleasure. Andy Esco, thank you, my friend. I'll get you
Thanks,
next week.
Thanks, Pete. Have a great weekend.
Boy, I hope he cashes on those Jacksonville tickets. Had him to win the conference and to win the Super Bowl? Gee, that's what you call rolling the dice. I got that crystal ball I could look into and tell you who's going to win. I would never have thought of Jacksonville. But now, I mean, that defense has changed their entire culture. And so has their coach, all right? Marone. All right, let's do it now, the giveaway. San Diego State, UNLV. The Rebels, of course, play New Mexico tonight. Rebels in that ball game, 7.5-point favorites, 161 your total against the Lobos. San Diego State, UNLV is the 27th. I'll take caller number 8 at 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. You got the ticks. 27th, Aztecs, yo, Rebels. Thanks to Andy Esco, Logical Approach. Ari, who carried this show. He's got some good dope.
I'm My arms
Williams,
are tired.
Folk. Remember, chin's tucked low, guards up high as the shoulders.
Yeah.
We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow, NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on. Game over.